How many wore your flip-flops today? Flip-flop Sunday? Yeah, I did. I asked Kathy Keeter. She said, every day's flip-flop day for me. I said, yeah, me too. I'm from the South, you know. I'm a flip-flop kind of girl. I love my flip-flops. Yeah, yesterday, you might have heard already, but yesterday was an unbelievable success. Our back-to-school giveaway. Wow, we were able to bless 73 kids with clothes and school supplies. Can you believe it? For our very first time around, we were really happy with that outcome. We didn't spend $1 on advertising. We just did it all through social media, through Craigslist, through Facebook, through word of mouth. Some of you went out and helped us advertise in your communities by getting ads in newspapers that didn't cost anything, you know, the freebie ads. And it really was amazing. I wish we had it on video. I don't know why we didn't videotape that one part where the lady was like, somebody came to me and said, she wants to meet the pastor. And I'm like, okay, so we came over, but there was about six or eight of us gathered around in a circle around her. And she was like, thank you so much. You have no idea. And she said, I'm going to start crying. I said, don't you start crying, because then I'll start crying, because I'm a crybaby. She said, you have no idea how much this blesses me and my family. I didn't know what I was going to do this year. And she left with bags upon bags upon bags of clothes. And we were so happy, you know. We talked about in the planning stages, do we limit people when they're coming in? Because we didn't know how many clothes we were going to have. We didn't know how many people were going to show up. And we talked about it. We're like, no, let's not limit people. Let's just let them take what they'll use, right? So she came through. In fact, one lady came through and took several bags. And then came back an hour later and took more bags. And I think she was hoping we wouldn't recognize she was a repeat customer. But she doesn't know how we do things around here, you know? We were like, take all you need. Here, do you need some more? Take some of these shoes. Look at these cool shoes we just found. You want some shoes? Take some more. I mean, they left with gobs of clothes, and the school supplies ran out very quickly, but that's all right. We gave out what we had, and it was so much fun. And I just want to thank every single one of you who did anything. I just want to say thanks to every single person who participated in any way, whether you brought goods or donated clothes or got school supplies or whether you volunteered or all of the above. I just thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm so grateful for you. And then, speaking of testimonies, Nick was telling me a testimony yesterday regarding, it was kind of a combination of the message that we did that had the tear off things at the bottom. Remember, take what you need. That combined with the Week of Hope. So I asked him if he'd be willing to share it today, and he said he would. So here he is.
Hi, guys. It relates directly to provision, which is what we were working on yesterday. And I just think it's amazing that God works through us. You know, there's his big obvious miracles that are obviously just him and he doesn't need our help with. And then there's the miracles that he does through us. I got a huge miraculous provision last Thursday. I'd been praying and praying and praying because I had missed so much work from this and then Week of Hope. And I got a huge gift, which was awesome. And I got home and I told my lovely wife, and she said, ooh, hold that thought just a second. And she ran upstairs and she grabbed the little provision tear off from the poster Sandy put up a couple weeks ago. She kept it for like, what was it, almost
3 weeks,
a month?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And it spoke to me, you know, it touched my heart, you know, that God makes himself so obvious, you know, so known in these blatant ways, you know. That was obviously just God being God. And at the same time with this provision that we're talking about, he works through us too, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
That he allows us to be his hands and feet is an honor.
That's right.
It is.
Amen. God is great.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Nick. If you ever have a testimony to share, you give me the word, and you know I love testimonies. The river of celebration, you know I love that. Because you can tell your story better than I can tell your story. And you can testify of God's goodness in a way that is different than the way I testify of God's goodness. So bring it on if you have testimonies, ever, okay? Bring it on. So today we're continuing our series on sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. And the message today is called Promises, Promises. Promises, Promises. I'm starting out in Galatians 3, 23 through 29. Little frog in my throat. Tried water, didn't help, so bear with me. Galatians 3, 23 through 29 says this, "Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith." For those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, I was talking about snort there. For those of you who weren't, you got to listen online, right? Thanks, Bob. It's talking about snort. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God, not orphans. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, this is the really exciting part to me, you are the true children of Abraham. Can you imagine? You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Now, you're going to get excited about that after this message, because I'm going to talk about the 10 promises that God gave to Abraham, and you're going to recognize all of those promises belong to you because of Christ. Because of Christ, right? God's speaking the same thing through a whole lot of different people, isn't he, Rhonda? He's speaking it to Ron. He's speaking it to Bill Johnson in California. I put the get message together, sent it to Ron on Wednesday, I think, Wednesday morning early, right? Came into the office really early because my sister was in town, so I wasn't in the office much. I was taking some vacation time. But I came in really early, sent the message out. Then I listened to Bill Johnson's message on Friday from California, and it was talking about this. And I'm like, okay, God, can you get it any clearer to me? I love it when he does that. God's promises belong to you. Just say that in your mind or out loud, whatever you prefer. God's promises belong to me. God's promises belong to me. The ones he made to Abraham belong to me. Okay, so now we got to look at what the promises are, right? Let's go back to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. We're taken from several different passages because God spoke to Abraham several different times about the covenant promises he was making to Abraham. So we're going to look first at Genesis 12 through 1 through 3. And it says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, Abram at that point, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation." Now, hold up. Does it say, if you leave your native country, I will make you a great nation? No, it does not. Let's just clarify that. This is not a conditional promise. This is an unconditional promise. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed with you. There's the first four promises in there. Number one, God will make me great. Oh, I love that. Because you see, all of us have a deep inner desire to be great. We do. And God says, got it covered. I'm going to make you great. And if we really believe the promise he has made to us, we don't have to worry about making ourselves great. We don't have to worry about making sure we look great to others. Come on now. Because God has promised he is going to make me great. And it's going to look different on me than it looks on you, but he's going to make us great. Oh, I love that. Number two, God will bless me. God will bless me in every way. Right, Rhonda? In every way, God will, that's what God's been speaking to her through the story of Abraham this week. God will bless me in every way. Write it down beside, because I didn't include that part. God will bless me in every way. Number three, God will make me famous, by making me a blessing to others. God will make me famous by making me a blessing to others. You see, you wonder why there's such a craving to be famous? Because it's God-given. And we shake our heads and tsk, tsk, tsk when people want to be famous. God created us to want to be famous. But he says, let me make you famous. Let me do it. I'll take care of it. And the way I'll do it is by making you a blessing to others. You may not be famous to millions, but I promise you, you're famous to somebody. You're famous to somebody. And God says, I'm going to make you famous by making you a blessing to others. Number four, if we could get a hold of this one. God has my back. God has my back. I don't have to have my own back. Nobody else has to have my back because God has my back. Now, my name, my actual name, Sandra is my first name. Darlene is my middle name. Both of them mean defender or protector of mankind. So I'm kind of hardwired to defend people and protect people. I'm just, that's part of who God made me to be, right? And I try to do that because I think there is some honor in doing that. I do. I believe it's a good thing. But when it all is said and done, God has my back and God has your back. And we can relax in that. We can really relax in that. Oh, this is good. Now, are you getting excited because Abraham's promises belong to you? Ooh, here's another one. Genesis 15:1. Genesis 15:1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said, "Do not be afraid, Abraham or Abram, for I will protect you." There it is again, repeated, and your reward will be very great. The fifth promise is God will reward me. I don't have to seek the reward from other people. I don't have to crave the reward from other people. I don't have to look for the constant approval that is never enough from other people because God will reward me. God's got it all. My job is to relax and let him do what he thinks is best. That's it. That's it. My reputation is in his hands. My reward is in his hands. My back is in his hands. I love that. What peace. I mean, this is such a different way to live. This flies in the face of earthly kingdom thinking. This is so counter-cultural. It's extremely countercultural to think like this. But that's what God does. It's his upside down kingdom, right, Raj, like you mentioned. It's his upside down kingdom. Genesis 7:1-8. Here's a bunch of more rewards or promises to Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, that's old. Don't you wonder why he waited so long to give him these? I mean, that's a long time. Of course, the closer I get, the younger it is. But anyway, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Now, for all those of you in my age group, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Amy Grant, oh yeah. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. And we'll talk about that scripture later, a little bit more in depth. Here are the promises. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee you to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground because he was 99 and he thought his chance of a descendant was long gone. He fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, not even just one nation, many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. Oh, I love this part so much. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give you the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Promise number six, God will give me countless descendants. Countless descendants. Spiritually and physically, I believe, God will give us countless descendants. If you've ever gone through infertility, that is a beautiful promise. It's really a beautiful promise. Number seven, God will give me a new identity. I believe there are people in this room right now who still think like the old person. And God says, you are a new person. I have given you a new identity. Stop saying, yeah, that's just my luck. God has given you a new identity. You don't have to follow the generational curses of your past because he has given you a new identity. You don't have to live the way your parents or grandparents or crazy uncle or nutty aunt live. You don't have to do that. Don't look at your Aunt Judy. That is not nice. Be nice, Johnny. God has given you a new identity. He's made you into a new person. If there are physical weaknesses in your family, if there are psychological weaknesses in your family, whatever financial, whatever they are, you don't have to follow that pattern anymore. God gives you permission to start a new path for your family. I believe it so much. And I believe that as you start out on that new identity, your children and their children and their children and their children will benefit from that. You are not restricted to your past any more than Abram was. Abraham at that point. Ooh, number eight, God will make me extremely fruitful. Extremely fruitful. Think of an apple tree. What does extremely fruitful look like? Lots and lots and lots and lots of fruit. Lots. Good, healthy fruit. Not beat up, you know, bruised, nasty looking fruit. Healthy, good fruit. God will make you fruitful. You don't have to work as hard at it. You are not the gardener. You're just the tree. God says, I'm going to take care of it. I'm your gardener. I'm going to make you extremely fruitful. Number nine, I told you I love this one so much. God will never stop being my God or the God of my descendants. Now, if you have kids, you know how valuable this promise is, because every single one of us who have kids have seen our kids, if they've lived long enough, have seen our kids make choices that disappoint us. And we know it brings trouble into their lives, right? We know those choices aren't leading to a good place. It doesn't change the fact that we love them. It doesn't change the fact that we hold them dear to our heart. But we know it makes us sad, because we know they're making choices that are going to bring trouble, right? God will never stop being their God. I don't have to be their God. God will be their God. And God will woo them to himself even if there's trouble. He will bring them to himself in the way that he sees fit, and he will love them so much. He will love them in ways that you can't love them. He will love them in ways that I can't love them. And then they will know him as God. I count on it. I count on it. It's a promise. Number 10, God will give me territory that can't be taken away. God will give me territory, whether it's spiritual or physical. God will give me territory that cannot be taken away from me by anybody. By anybody. It's in God's hands. I don't have to do it, because it's in his hands. Now, I'm wrapping all this up with a conclusion. Genesis 15, 6. This verse is also quoted, I believe, in Hebrews, if I remember right, or maybe Romans, or maybe both. Somebody else smarter than me would remember. Genesis 15, 6 says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." What does believe mean? When it says Abram believed the Lord, and God said, "Okay, because you believe, you're counted the same as righteous." What does believe mean? It means, I hope I get this right, because it really struck me this week. It means to support something. But it was interesting, because it said pillars or supporters of the door. Okay, now stay with me. So if I believe God when he tells me these 10 promises, those beliefs are like pillars that hold up a door to enter into a new way of living. That's really what it means. It's not just, I think that's true. It's to build a way of living on that, on those promises. Bill Johnson, in the message I listened to on Friday, said it this way. He said, to believe means to fix your eyes and focus on something to such an extent that anything that comes at you from the side really never gets your full gaze. You might have to deal with some stuff, but your eyes are fixed on those promises and the promise giver. Your eyes are fixed on the promise giver and the promises, because they're from the promise giver. So anything that tries to distract you and pull your attention away, it might come, you might even pull on your arm, but your gaze is fixed on God and the promises he's made to you, and you live your life in such a way that you believe it's true. Oh my goodness. It changes your everything. It changes everything for you. It changes every single thing. So faith in God's kingdom, faith is the currency. Faith is the currency in God's kingdom. He says, Abraham believed God, so God counted him as righteous because of his belief. It's currency. You hear me? We tend to get it backwards, and we think obedience is the currency. There is never a condition listed in these whole, all of these promises. It's not listed. I looked, because I was taught obedience is good, and it is. I don't mean to slam it. I mean, I'm just saying, we were taught That obedience, or maybe we just believe it. I don't know if my parents ever taught that, but we just somewhere believe that obedience is the currency. It's not. Faith is the currency. Faith is the currency. Belief is the currency. But in Genesis 17:1, we're going to go back to that one verse I told you we were coming back to. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Now, first of all, let's pause there. What does El Shaddai mean? It means the most powerful. I think if we really get a handle on who God is, we have no trouble believing what he says. If we really get an understanding of who God is, we have no trouble believing what he says. He says, Abram, I am El Shaddai. I am the most powerful one there is. Then he says, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Now, he doesn't say, if you serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, I'll do this and this and this. No, he just says, serve me faithfully. But you know what? I looked that up. Serve me faithfully, because I understand that to mean one thing, and the true Hebrew meaning means something different. The Hebrew meaning is walk with me, come and go with me. That's what it means. When it says serve me faithfully, God is saying, just walk with me, come and go with me. Where I come, you come. Where I go, you go. That's what it means. It doesn't mean be a perfect little Christian. It means come and go with me. Come and go with me. If I'm resting, you rest. If I'm working, you work. If I'm laughing, you laugh. If I'm dancing, you dance. I got the biggest kick out of Kylie this morning before worship. The worship team was practicing, and she was standing over here, and I don't know if it's going to show up or not. And she was looking at the wall. Maybe it will. And while they were singing, she was dancing. Now, I'm not going to dance because I already told you I don't. But what she was doing is noticing the shadows. And she was intrigued by the shadows, and she would do these beautiful movements with her body that seemed to interpretive of the music, really, to me. It was beautiful. But you know what I loved about it? She was looking at how the light impacted her movement. And I thought, what a beautiful example. If we will just remember the light is the light and we are not. The light is the light, and the way we move is evidenced by the light. Wow, it was so beautiful. Serve me faithfully, walk, come and go with me, and live a blameless life. And everybody went, oh, I can't do that because I mess up. I really mess up sometimes, a lot. You know what it means? Oh, it's so much easier than it sounds. It means to live wholly in accord with truth or fact. In other words, to build your pillars, and the pillars are the belief in God's promises, and let that open a door to a new way of living. That's what it means. Doesn't mean be perfect, without sin, never make a mistake, never have a bad thought, never say the wrong thing, because I would be in trouble. I couldn't be standing up here talking to you. Neither could any of you be standing up here and talking to me, so I'm not worried about it too much. That's what it means to live wholly in accord with truth or fact. So faith is the currency, but obedience is the fruit of believing the promise. Obedience is the fruit, not the currency. We always want to get it reversed somehow. Obedience is just a natural fruit that grows out of my understanding of who God is and my true understanding of what he promises. Obedience comes then. you can't stop it. I mean, it comes because you understand who God is and you understand what he's promised to you. That's not based on how good you are. That's based on whether or not you believe he does what he'll say, says what he, that he'll do what he said. Ah, blah, blah, blah. Right? That's what it's based on. I don't know why that's so hard. I'm 51 years old, and it's been a long process for me, and I don't delude myself into thinking I've got it all together and I understand it all, because I know I don't. I am still on a journey, and so are you. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know, it's level. But look at the promises God makes to us. Build our lives based on what he says he will do, and then let him do it. Just let him do it. Walk into a new way of living based on what he says he will do. Hold on to those 10 promises, because Galatians makes it really clear that the promises made to Abraham now belong to you. You get to inherit the promises made to Abraham. Wow. Thank you, God. We celebrate today how good you are. God, I thank you that you are not just good when I'm good. You are good all the time. And I feel like your goodness just keeps billowing. I don't know, like it just keeps rolling in wave after wave after wave of your goodness. And every time I see another wave, I get excited because I know that I'm going to see your goodness. Even if it knocks me down for a minute, I know you will bless me in every way, no matter what's happening. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to live like your children, not as orphans. That we will live like your children and know that those promises are for us. They're for us. If we've believed in you and what you've said, they are for us, and we are your children. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen.